Okay, this is an oral history interview with Mrs. Randall conducted by Richard Wire on October 6, 1981 at Mrs. Randall's house. Okay, starting the interview will be with Judy.
Judy?
Mrs. Randall, how long have you lived in Hartsville?
I spent many summers here before I was married and enjoyed summers at South Hartsville. And then I was married in 1929, and from then on I lived here all the time.
How old were you when you first came to Hartsville?
When I first came to Hartsville? When I came summers, I came to wait on table at the Auburn Colony. And enjoyed my summers there, but it was the year after I finished high school, 1922, and then I came through the years that I was going to college, and later when I was teaching for 3 years, so that led up to 1929 then.
I don't think any of these students know what the Auburn Colony is.
Oh, they don't.
I wonder if you might like to tell them a little bit about that.
Well, it's a group of summer houses down in that direction. Started many, many years ago. And it was quite a busy place in those days. And I happen to know the woman who was hiring the girls for the place, and that's how I happened to know about it and came there. And there were many girls working there, and they were all school girls, college girls, and we had a lot of fun, a lot of free time.
Were there as many tourists around that?
In those 8 years, you mean?
Yeah.
There weren't so many cars, but there was a lot going on because people used the steamboat. Have you read about the steamboat at all? That came down from Portland every day, and it was a big boat and lots of passengers on it. And people used to come then to their houses and stay for long periods of time. After cars got used more, people stayed overnight perhaps, or went off for the day, did things like that they could do. But in those days, there were a lot of people around here. There were a number of hotels down around the point. Do you know where the steamboat wharf was, Richard? Down at the point.
Yeah, was it over
by... You know where the town landing is?
Yeah.
Yes. It was further down, and it extended out into the ocean quite a ways. And the steamboat came and carried lots of passengers, lots of freight, and lots of people went both ways on it, you know, both to Portland and back. And it accommodated islands and stopped at a number of places before it got to South Hartsville, and then it went on to Bailey and Oars Island. And in the summertime, of course, it was a busy place. And it was fun to go down on the wharf and see who was going and who was getting back. Then somebody would be there from the store and post office to get the mail and the freight. And it was kind of a get together, you know. It was the place to be. And it was fun. And I hunted up a postcard of the steamboat. I thought I had the more postcards, but.
Perhaps you don't want to interrupt this.
No,
we'll take a look at it.
Yeah. There it goes. Well, this isn't a boat, this is something.
Water column is still going today.
Yes, it is.
And that's what brought you here initially.
That's what brought me here first. And then, as I say, I got married in 1929, and this has been my home ever since, right here. And that's a long time ago.
Where did you used to live in the winter?
Well, I was born and grew up in Gloucester, Massachusetts. And after I finished Gloucester High School, I went to Framingham State College. And that's still in existence. And a great place. And after that, I taught for 3 years. I taught home ec and general science and, I had one class in math too that they couldn't seem to find another place for, and at a junior high school in Franklin, Mass. So that was what happened before I came down here. I didn't teach after that. I didn't teach here. When my children came along, I just stayed home, looked after the house, and them.
Did you have certain chores or anything when you first moved here? Like, did you have a farm or something?
No, we didn't, because my husband was postmaster down at the point there, down at South Tapswell. It was near this fort that I speak of. And so he wasn't interested in that. And we didn't do that. Didn't even have a garden.
How old were you when you finished school? How old were you when you finished school?
Well, when I finished college, I was, is that what you mean?
Yeah.
I was 21.
How old were you when you got married?
24, I guess. Yes, 24. It was 3 years later.
And you lived with your parents or your husband's parents when you got married?
No. This had been his home. This had been my husband's home. He had been born and grown up here. But it was empty at the time, and it one-third of it belonged to him because he had a brother and a sister, and their parents had died. So he bought them out and made it his home before we were married, and we planned to come here.
How old is the house?
What's that?
How old is the house?
I didn't understand.
How old is this house here?
Oh, probably 100 years old, I imagine. I'm guessing, but I would say so.
Who built the house?
My husband's father did, yes. Because he had built it in the early years of their marriage.
Has there been any major changes in size or
addition? I don't know. We've changed some things inside, but no, I wouldn't say so. Perhaps right from the beginning.
Yeah.
I think real old pictures showed the barn just went over halfway, and then it was extended nearer the other end, and perhaps some changes. But it's just a small lot, and really not much room for building on. Too big now. When your family gets small, you know, you don't need so much room.
Anyone else have any questions about the house?
that's all my questions.
This was the store there.
Oh, yes.
I don't know where the Gillis is. Lived.
Yes, I do.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, this is the Gillis house, and then there's the road in front. And this was right on the bank, on the shore there. Mm-hmm. And this is where the store, post office was.
Well, it was there when we moved to Harpswell.
It was.
Yes, and I just am sorry I didn't photograph it at the time, but I am going to take them down to show them where the foundation was.
Yes.
And I wondered if we could in the future arrange to photocopy some of your postcards to add to the script in the library and return the postcards to you.
A little before you came, I thought that I had a good big postcard picture, not so far away as this, but closer. And I couldn't seem to find it. But that gives you the idea.
Yes, that I don't think that they have seen the store's photograph yet. But if you have the time, while we're going on to their questions, if you later on come up with a picture or a postcard, you can bring my copy and return to me.
Yes.
We'd like very much to have that.
You would.
That would be important to the end.
Yeah. Well, I could give it to Richard. And,
sure.
And I'm sure I've had... I have this painting that was done. I'll just take it off the wall. That was suggestive of that. That's the way the and that was. See, there are the gas tanks and the town landing. You know, you spoke about seeing that. The town landing was right there, and then you went along just a little distance. And was this great big landing went way out for the steamboat, you know. And
in what year was the painting done?
Well, it was done not very long ago. I mean, 8 or 10 years ago.
It's nice to have that.
Yes.
That's very special.
Yeah. So that gives you a general idea. I didn't know whether you saw it or not.
That is the color.
It's built right out on the banking. If you take them down there, you'll see. Because the storefront was on the, close to the street.
Right.
And then it kind of slopes off into stones and
so on. Literally on the embankment.
Yes. And it was built out with big pilings, you know, underneath to hold it.
Mm-hmm.
And just like a fourth would be, you know.
Yeah. Well, thank you for sharing the picture with us. It's a very special thing. You notice that it's not white, but in like a very traditional color. I guess the second most popular color in Maine counties. That yellow,
if we have in our house.
That's right. That's right. Can any of you remember the Grange Hall on Middle Bay Road that burned about 3 years ago?
Yeah.
Back in mind.
You know the Thompson Grange?
That's
a very
color.
Traditional color for Maine architecture.
All right,
Scott?
What were some of the major cities that get the mail from?
Well, it was sent from Portland. The mail came down from Portland. I suppose, it came from everywhere. But it was sent out of the Portland Post Office, you know, or the Railway Mail, or whatever, I don't know, but it came down on the steamboat in those days, and kept on until the early 1940s, when somehow it came about then, because of the war and the government decisions, they took the boats off.
Now, was the road, the Harpswell Road, blacktopped at that point, when they started bringing the mail down by truck?
I don't remember.
I wonder if the road at that point had been paved.
But at that time, I suppose that Portland still had to service some of those islands, because that would be the only way they would get it. But they didn't have to, these down here, because we could be reached by road, you see. And that was the end of the steamboat coming then, whether it was for passengers or mail or anything. And it was disappointing to have it end. And people kept thinking, well, when the war is over, we will have the steamboats again, but it never came about. They didn't send them down here. And of course there are still Casco Bay lines, and boats that go out, excursions and all such, but never the service that we had afterwards, because of the, what do you suppose, what it had to do with the war, and their preparations for war, and their restrictions that came
about. The number of people who traveled to summer vacations dropped drastically during the war.
Oh, yes.
So it wouldn't have paid to run a ship for the mail, steamboats for the
Perhaps
mail.
Perhaps not.
And also your volume of mail must be many, many times greater in the summer than in the winter. And the road was probably easier to keep clear than going through ice-bound channels in the wintertime. Severe winter, isn't it?
Well, they managed very well. They didn't always have that big boat. I'm talking about before they gave it up, of course, in the 1940s. But the big boat ran most of the year. But in the winter, they had a smaller steamboat. And it was surprising how well they did. They seldom missed out on a trip down. They did very, very well.
When you say the big boat, do you mean the Office of Scout?
Yes.
What was the name of the small boat?
I should remember. There were two big boats, Ocho Cisco and the Pilgrim, I think. Do you remember that?
Have you? I've heard of the Pilgrim, but I had never heard of the Pilgrim. That's the name we've never heard before.
There were two big boats, and whether they alternated or what, but they different ones would come. And then there was a smaller one, because there were fewer passengers in the stormy or cold weather, of course, very few. And but it was surprising how many people there were. You take those hotels, you know, there was a hotel just beyond the steamboat wharf, up on the banking, there were fishermen's wharves down there now. Do you know where I mean, Richard? Down below where I say the town landing is. Well, up on the hill there was the American Ink Hotel, and quite a big hotel. And it was built in the summer. And then there was the there were two or three more as you went along, and lots of people would just perhaps have a big house and have boarders, you see, and people would come and stay for a month. The whole summer.
How different it is now.
Yes. Now everybody moves along. They explore one place, maybe stay overnight. They keep on moving around. And of course, that isn't always true. Some people own their own summer places and come year after year. But there was more permanence
then. The idea of taking boarders is too heavy.
Yes.
Because we live in a summer community. How many people do you know? How many of your neighbors do you know who take in summer guests?
Mm-hmm.
You know what that involved, don't you? Not just your lodging, but meals.
Yes.
The laundry you put to prepare for the day. That's really good to be there. Except like in school, they have that. You may spend a year in the country.
In Europe, they do more of that than they do here. If you travel in Europe, you can go to someone's home, or some people will bed and breakfast. Where you stay in a guest, as a guest at someone's home, which you pay for your lodging, and the next morning's meal, and then you're on your way again.
Yes. Well, they did that, of course, then, too, at some of those places. But a lot of people came and stayed for a long time. Probably wrote in the winter months or early spring and made their plans and came for the certain time.
Very often came back again and again.
Yes.
They were almost regulars.
Yes. Yeah. And, one of the hotels, quite near where the store and post office was, it was the Sea Gables that the Merrows had for years. And then up along further, up beyond the Auburn Colony, on the other side, was another big hotel. And I remember when that one burned, and it was quite a startling fire when that went down. And as you went along, there were other places too. And as I say, the boarding houses accommodated quite a few people. So it was surprising how many people there were down there on the end of the point in that little area below Estes Beach that connects with a little bridge there, you know. And perhaps many of them came to their cottages, but many of them came to stay at some of these places too.
Was the bridge always the same? It's a two-lane causeway today. Was it always like that?
As far as I remember,
Were there as many tourists then as there are now?
As many tourists?
Yeah.
In those early years, of course, there weren't so many cars and so many people. Excuse me.
It would appear that there were more people around then than, we think of it as being too crowded now in the summers. But,
of course there's a lot of crowding because you think of the cars coming and going, busy as it should be.
Mm-hmm.
But they just come and go, you see. And, of course, there has been more building along the way, I'm sure of that, through the years. And then there are little roads that run off that have been built up on places that were farms, you know, and divided and so on. So there are more houses as the years go by and continue to be. But it was a very busy place down there. And as you came along up through here, I didn't know so much about them at that time, but there are places that had the borders are kind of overnight places, you know, that all along here.
Do you suppose if there were that many people around, there must have been more to do? If you want to go to the movies now, you've got to go and talk to Cook's Corner. Were there any such thing as movie houses or dance halls around?
Yes. Right down at the point there, where the road goes up around Hurricane Ridge, you know. It goes up
by the old Gibbon House.
Yes.
Now Mrs. Gillis's, and up by Dr. Radcliffe's.
Yes. Yeah. And it comes down on the other side.
By Mrs. Estes' house.
Well, right there by Mrs. Estes, there was quite a large building, and they have dances and movies there. And that was a place where people could go in the evening, and it was fun.
Was Estes Beach there? That as a place to eat?
Yes. The beach was there.
The
beach was there, but there was
no
eating place, no.
Was the dance hall in the big building, is that still there now?
No, that building is gone now. Right there. It was right beyond Mrs. Estes and between her place and the road.
Mm-hmm.
And it was two stories.
I don't think so.
No, because people
know it was a place. Yes, they do presently. They were away from town, from further
amusement center, actually, the people who are probably his best customers are those who have come by far, as opposed to those who live here in the summer, or come here to summer. They're all the enough to surround, not through the restaurant alone, but the people who drive down the next to the golf and the empty are.
Yes,
very much. And we'll come for a nice lobster dinner or something like that, a little different.
How is the post office? How is it different from where you were?
Well, we have quite a large building there, right on the bank, so to speak, close to the town on the floor. And it was a general store. They carried everything in the line of food, and also hardware and everything that people needed. They didn't get there. And in one corner was the post office. So it was a place for everybody to assemble, send the mail, and pick up this mail, and buys, groceries, and so on. So it was actually part of the store. And yes, when did it go from Randall's store next door to the White House, where we know the last post office in Crown House was? Before it moved to the this is Douglas Station, or it moved from down there at the point. Yeah, 1971 or 72 was the last time the post office was down in South House Hall. Then it moved up to Center House Hall. Now, when did it move from Randall's store to the next building? Do you remember the last year that you had the post office in Randall's store? Well, my husband was the postmaster for 20 years, and he continued there for a little bit longer. Well, it was probably in the 1940s that it went to
I really don't remember.
So
it stayed there. From there until 1972 or 3, as far as we can recall.
When you were here, Richard, the post office in Center House Hall?
Yeah. When I came, it was just about
1972, I think.
And it was up there
about 72. Well, I'm not too sure about that. But,
the center of the community, wasn't it?
Yes.
It was not only a place for grocery shopping, to pick up the mail, and had a chance to chat with anybody else in the spot. It was a whole different feeling than it is today.
Not the only other place.
It was where you could meet all your friends,
and catch up on the news, and wait around, call the cell at the mail, and then they'd open up the little window, you know, and pick up the mail, and maybe have something to send in the next mail, and so on. But it was a gathering place. And perhaps before you went home, you had to get a quart of milk or a little something to carry home with a lot of food, you know. And so it was surprising. It was a friendly.
We had a very long hours at Whitkey because of the store and the post office.
Yes. I didn't work there, or help there, but I was in there. Well, I've had occasions, but my husband spent a good many hours there.
Yes.
And it opened up early in the morning, and through the summer, it was open evenings, of course, until about 9 o'clock. And there would be two males available. So the boat would come from, it would stay all night, this big steamboat would stay all night at Pearl Island, and come along to St. Patrick for at about 7 o'clock or so, headed for Portland. And then it would be stopping at South Hatfield at noon, 12 o'clock or so, back to Portland, and go to the two islands. and then it would be back here at 3 again at some hospital. And then back at 7 o'clock at night, I'd stay all night to see them. So there were 2 males a day that came in the busy summer time. And those people didn't have delivery, you know. The delivery began beyond us to the beach there, up on the curb there. The delivery man would stand there. And it was just a first-class post office. And didn't go too far. It came up as far as the schoolhouse turned in. Yes, it came up as far as there, and then turned up on the delivery man. He delivered once a day. We had our 2 days a day. We just delivered the unit. And he turned there for Ash and Mason Point, and come back and down there. That was so possible there. Anybody up around here, as far down as the schoolhouse turn, got his mail from London. It was delivered down from there, and the rural delivery man came out of the bunch of post office down as far as there, and the mailbox is long here. But the people down at around Hurricane Road and down further on the planet, and like that, they all came to post office to send their mail and just pick up the news and to pick up their mail there. It wasn't delivered from post office. And it made for kind of an informal gathering place.
Sure.
Yes.
Well, I have one last question. Do you like the way the post office was doing in the past when you went to the president?
Well, I'm perfectly satisfied with it as it is, but I have happy memories of how it used to be down there. I really hesitate to say as far as that goes.
I asked you about the post office. How much was that stamp?
Well, I shouldn't say for sure, but I wonder if it was probably 2 cents a stamp and 1 cent a postcard, most likely. Been a long way since then, hasn't it? And they're talking about most of it again.
It's 20, it's been a long time since the house, yeah.
Were the addresses on the envelope, are they the same as they are today?
Yes, I would say.
Were they not zip codes?
Oh, no.
No, they weren't zip codes.
Those are later.
But your address would have been RSP Huxwell or box number? Was that part
of yours? We had a mailbox out here in case Mr. Estabrook, who was the mailman at that time, had anything for us. But usually it was just a circular or something like that, because our mail came like this to South Hatfield because my uncle was down there, you know, and it was just sort of habit for us to be getting his mail that way, and I'd get mail from my family and different friends and so on. But that was Brunswick RFD, down as far as the turn, you see, and people got it in their mailboxes. And down there, it was so hassle, and people got it in their mailboxes, except, as I say, close to the store there, not as far as SB Beach. Those people came to get
it. Now, when you're talking about Brunswick RFD, that means that from the school all the way up, all of these houses, in 20 years, we would have run through the grass.
Yes.
We were going around the rest of the grass up to American Pharmacy.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Or maybe even farther.
Yeah.
So, the grass is now called Pops Point, which is called South Hartswell.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, I thought, and I quite sure it's right. It was considered necessary to have the post office accessible to the islanders who needed to come there from Haskell Island and Eagle Island. They came back and forth for their supplies and for their mail. And the post office was supposed to be near where they came in by boat to get it. And it wasn't there. It was actually centrally located because it was about the same distance from the post office to the West Harpswell School as it would be from the post office to Eagle Island.
Yes,
it's just that that was overworked.
Yes.
But it was 2.5 miles in either direction.
Yes.
But when it moved up along here, I don't know how they got around that rule, because that seems to be what people thought was necessary many years ago, that those people would have a chance to come by boat and get out of a boat and not have to walk very far to pick up mail and send mail. And that's the way it was then, because the Furies, of course, were at Eagle Island at that time, and there were several families on Haskell's Island, and they spent a long time in the summer there.
Know the Furies at all?
Well, I have talked to some of them, yes, but I can't say I know them very well, but the people who work out at the store did,
Was the mail delivered on Sundays?
No.
Was the old school like a one-room school?
No, there were three rooms in the old school. And at the time when my children started there, I think there were fewer children that had gone before, and they were only using two rooms. And they had primary teacher and the grammar teacher at that time. But perhaps before that, they had had enough children to use the third room. But it was quite a nice schoolhouse, and I don't know what they had had before that, but that was at the time my children went.
Like in other towns more inland, there are tanneries and mills and farms, which are really important to their economy. Were there tanneries and mills and farms around here a lot then?
Well, I suppose lots of people had gardens and did farming to a certain extent, perhaps raised some extra vegetables to sell, naturally, with all the people and the boarding houses and the hotels and like that. I'm sure there were some people who raised something, but I don't know too much about farms down in this direction. I don't really think they did much farming there. But as far as the seafoods went, down at Ash Cove, they did work on crab meat and with clams and things like that. You know, some of the women, I think, worked and picked out crab meat and that sort of thing. And perhaps they sold to the people then.
I don't know that perhaps one that had any kind of fishing business or industry, like the sardine canneries that you know about.
No, I don't think so.
I don't think they had any.
No.
Basically, they were lobster fishing.
Yes. And that's what they were. Until the war years, most people did work that they could do
around here, either on the water, go crabbing, go lobster, and that sort of thing. And of course, it lifts lots of them without much work in the winter.
Yeah.
Yes. And they sort of just waited it out, you see. And then when the war started, and there was work at the base was built, and begun to be expanded more and more, and then at last they started to work so hard on the big ships. Well, all of a sudden, people got out of town jobs then, and they get together and go and, carpools, and go regularly because they had more than one shift, you know, and they did. So that's when many of them gave up their fishing.
Interesting. There again, the car changed up the hustle. Before the advent of cars and cars, before the war, we were working in Germany. Everything now is outside of town, and the life of this guy was describing so different from what we talk about today. Ricky, do you have any other questions about industry or the school?
There was electricity. When was there a lot of electricity? Was that important?
I remember the earlier years that I was down here. If you wanted electricity, you had your own
generator.
Yes. Yeah. And people did that if they chose to. Otherwise, they got along with kerosene and lamps.
Do you know when electricity was actually brought down the road?
Well, it was before I was married and lived in here, but it wasn't too much before that. I don't think. And it was quite an event when it was done, yes. Because that was a long distance to come, you know. Or at least it was considered quite a distance. And they had to make sure that people really wanted it and it was going to be worthwhile. I can't remember the. It was in the 1920s, but I don't remember the exact year.
When they didn't have the car so much, and someone got really sick, how could they get doctors around?
Well, there were doctors around here that lived here lots of times. Or else, who would call a doctor from Brunswick and you'd come down? Because they made house calls in those days. They came. Yes, glad to. Yes, yes. That changed as years went by, and it was almost it is almost impossible, isn't it, to get a doctor to come to the house. I won't say for sure, but what do you think?
On the other hand, people didn't go to the doctor's often. I take my own children to the doctor much more often than I ever go.
Yes.
And I think we're more conscious of medical health,
yes.
Health care. So I don't think you saw the doctor as often as you were. Say you were born 30 years ago or 40 years ago, as you were today.
But doctors made house calls. Now they say, come up to the office, or they say, come to the hospital. If you tumble down the way I did last winter, you have to hop them up, you know. And in those days, there were a number of doctors, and they'd have their offices and have their office hours, but they also made house calls, even if it was way out in the country.
I had another question to ask. Richard was asking about schools. I was going to ask you, where up the neck was the next nearest school?
Oh, it was just before you get to the Kellogg Church. I think the building was moved. You know where that little hall is? Richard, the
HCI
hall. Well, there's one next to that. A small building, not as big as this.
Was that the youth club that was finally?
Yes.
Yes, that was moved, wasn't it?
Yes.
Only a year ago.
That was a school for that section. And then there was another school which somebody bought for a restaurant and didn't do so well with.
High tide, yes.
At the Gulf Road.
That was the Lancaster School. So there were little schools along the way.
Do any of you boys know what happened to the school that was next to the HCIS?
Last year there was a building right there, and they tore it down.
Well, would you both try to find out what happened to that school and where it went, and be interested historically, if it became someone's shed or someone used it as part of their house? See if you can find out what happened to it.
Of course, there weren't any school buses or anything like that thing. So the schools had to be near enough for children to walk, and that was it. And they did. And they came on the road and went back.
You didn't take your lunch?
There was a lot of walking then. You took your lunch if you wanted to. Otherwise, you walked. You did as you wanted to about that. I mean, you took your own, you had your choice. But you couldn't buy lunch or anything like that.
Unless it's in the hot lunch bag.
Not unless some teacher happened to help you out that way.
Mrs. Randall, how did you get the supplies for the store?
They came by freight on the old steamboat. And then, as I say, when the steamboat stopped running and stopping down there, they came by truck. Just as the mail did for quite a while.
Where did you get the supplies from? Where did they come in from?
From Portland.
Portland?
Yeah. Well, they should have sent away somewhere else for something. Yes.
When did you start running the store?
He became postmaster in 1926, and the woman who owned the post office, Mrs. Pinkham, had been postmaster, or mistress, which do you say, for some time, and wanted to give it up, and she, for some reason, thought that he would be good for that, and also buy the store. And she talked to him about it. It was nothing he had ever planned to do at all, but he started in that and it must have been 1925 that he became clerk and sort of assistant to her, and kind of got worked into it before he took the examination of the postmaster, and decided to buy the place.
Was it called Pinkham's store then, before it was called
Pinkham's store?
And do you have any idea how long Pinkham's store had been there?
No, I don't. But her husband, and she perhaps too with him, but her husband had been postmaster before she was. I never knew him. He had died before I knew.
So it would appear the store went back at least to around the 1900s.
Well, I would say it had been there for a while, And she lived after retirement for quite some time, but she had got to the point where she thought she'd like to have no more.
Do you remember which Mrs. Pinkham she was and what her first name was?
Mabel.
And what was her husband's first name?
Frank.
There's so many Pinkhams around it.
Pinkham was a very common name down around the Hurricane Ridge there, too. There was Pinkham's
Point. Right? And there's a Pinkham Island. Do you know what Pinkham Island is?
Right off where Blue Claire's left, Bonnie Claire's
The two Mrs. Pinkhams.
Yes.
I can remember them. Now, I don't know if they were related. I understand that.
Let them down there. They used to roll across there and do
And then they used a flag system. They hoisted the flag at the fence, and someone would roll out and get them.